Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Girir Madhadari Yashoda Nanana Prachajana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Prachajana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabanachari Jamuna Tirabanachari Jaya Ratha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Madhadari Yashoda Nanana Prachajana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Prachajana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabanachari Jamuna Tirabanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Shyama Sunda Radha Shyama Sunda Radhe Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnu Paramahamsa Paramahamsa Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vindiki Jai. All glories to Sambal devotees. All glories to Sambal devotees. All glories to Sambal devotees. Glory to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the pregnancy of Diti in the evening, and we'll be studying text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bartar up Toru mananam, lokan avishate yashaha, patibhavad vidho vyasam, prajaya nanujayate, bartar up atto marama. Amananam Lokan Avishate Yashaha Pati Bhavad Vidho Yasam Prajaya Nanujayate. Please chant. Bartari, by the husband. Apta Uramananam, of those who are beloved. Lokan, in the world. Avishate, spreads. Yashaha, fame. Pati, husband. Bhavat Vidiha, like your good self. Yasam, of those whose. Prajaya, by children. Nanu, certainly. Jayate expands. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A woman is honored in the world by the benediction of her husband, and a husband like you will become famous by having children because you are meant for the expansion of living entities. Purport. According to Shabdev, one should not become a father or mother unless one is confident that he can beget children whom he can deliver from the clutches of birth and death. Human life is the only opportunity to get out of the material scene, which is full of the miseries of birth, death, old age, and diseases. Every human being should be given the opportunity to take advantage of his human form of life, and a father like Kashyapa is supposed to beget good children for the purpose of liberation. Vishnu Bharaya Krishna Staya Vitaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinara Namaste Sarasati Guru Vanavichaya Shishinara Church. So this human form of life comes with a lot of responsibilities, and many people don't acknowledge that, or they try to avoid it somehow and just try to think of themselves, very self-centered. But there's a lot of responsibility, and the devotees, they see it as a very serious matter, and they put realization of God on the top priority in this chance to liberate ourselves from this repetition of birth and death. As it's described here, is full of many diseases and all kinds of horrible things. So we have a responsibility to our soul, which is embodied here, and to revive it and to help it get out of here, to escape this miserable situation. And Srila Prabhupada expected us also to become very qualified. He's talking about here about being qualified leaders. And he expected us to be Krishna conscious and to deliver the world. And then he attached on to the Western devotees to deliver the whole planet. And so that's something that, of course, America has looked after as the leader. So that's something that we have to put on our priority also, is to deliver ourselves and to try to figure out how to deliver this world for the pleasure of our spiritual master. The spiritual master has written a book. It's over there on the counter, I think. It's called Spiritual Yoga. And if, I don't know if you've read it recently, but we distribute it a lot because the title is very catchy. People like yoga, and then they think, oh, spiritual yoga, that's even better. So yeah, I'll take that book. And I warn them, I say, this is a discussion between the king and the sons. It has a picture of King Vrishabhdev sitting there talking to his 100 sons. I said, it's very heavy. Because if you start reading it, almost the very first paragraph is that statement that if you don't take responsibility and become, you know, God realization, you don't ask these questions, you're no better than a dog or a hog or a camel. And so it's like the first thing they read, you know. So I figured this is going to go, forget it, you know. This is too heavy. But it is a very nice directions. It's referred to here as Rishabhdev also, because he also says that you shouldn't become a leader, you shouldn't become a father or mother or anything, unless you can deliver these dependents, which is a very big responsibility, and I'm sure any parent knows that or has having some realization anyway. Srila Prabhupada came here and he realized that we didn't have these qualifications. That in America, that, you know, they're pretty much quite fallen, and that they don't have the ability to even take up spiritual life, or especially to deliver other people from it. So he had a little problem how to deal with this, but he actually put us in these positions. I mean, within a few weeks, you're a temple president or in charge of the BBT or something, you know. You had to learn how to do a whole printing press or something, go to another country, didn't even know the language, and preach. So he pushed us into these positions, which was quite a challenge for, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids and have no qualification whatsoever. But the success, if there is success at all in this movement, it's because of Srila Prabhupada's empowerment. He was so qualified and so pure that that actually spread and injected in us. And, of course, our dedication to him gave us that enthusiasm to do it at our best, whatever we could, even though it was full of faults and we made many mistakes. Here, Diti is glorifying her husband for having these qualifications. And surely he was a great saint. Here we see that he could actually meditate. We can't even sit still for this class, you know, thinking of what we have to do next. But he was very, very qualified, and she's glorifying him for that. He says, because you can beget good children to expand, you know, the society, to make it more spiritual. Bhakti Siddhanta's Saraswati Thakur, who we glorified yesterday, he said that if I could deliver children, I would have hundreds of them. So where does that put us? You know, are we very qualified? But many of us, we did take up the challenge and think that, oh yes, oh, Krishna, please send me a little Prahlad or some kind of a saint, you know, and I want to increase my service, and this would be nice to raise a little child, you know, like we saw on the little photograph yesterday, the little boy pretending like he's giving class, you know, that's so sweet looking. But we found that challenge was quite a mouthful, quite a swallow. But we did our best. It's easier said than done, because Maya's right there to catch the child also. And she has a very, very, very fortress that's very, very difficult to escape, Durga, very, very difficult. And so this is a big challenge, especially in Kali Yuga, to raise these as, great, great, wonderful leaders. But we still are attempting, and as Prabhupada says, our third generation will be less contaminated and have great effects on expanding this movement. So hopefully these prayers and benedictions will come true. As we can see, I've heard that the kids go home from the school over here and they make their parents Krishna conscious by coming, being all fired up from different, you know, learning how to play Madunga and learning lines for the plays. And, you know, we always love it when they come here and perform. So there's great opportunity for these children to take over and do a much better job than we did. But that a long time ago, the Vedic culture gave a wonderful atmosphere for spiritual elevation, because it was designed by Krishna, first of all, and is meant to deliver everyone, to raise everyone up spiritually. And so there was these different positions that were taken by saintly persons. And we see that they had some scars, especially in regards to raising children, even before conception. So this is real planned parenthood. It was planned before, you know, even the conception, that we were going to raise this child, we were going to make it Krishna conscious, and this is our duty in life. And then, of course, there was some scars. When I hear some scars, I see the word scars. It reminds me, it's like a performance that was so heavy that it left a scar, an impression on you. So all these samskaras, these different rituals were there to remind you of the importance of these religious activities. And the whole process was effective, because it would keep reminding you that, yes, my position is just to serve Krishna and to raise these children in serving Krishna. I happened to look up the organization called Planned Parenthood that is here in Alachua, and actually now it's spreading all over the world. They have locations everywhere. Exact opposite is how you can plan for your sense enjoyment, you can have as much sex as you like, and not be responsible, not be a parent. You can just, you know, have fun. And this material will not be inconvenienced by having to raise a child. What less the expense of it? What less having to, you know, make it God conscious? You know, just to raise one, it costs so much money. They brag, actually, on their little website, they brag that they have, I think last year, some 500,000 or more unintended children were not allowed to come into this world. From the birth control pills up to a 5-minute suction of the embryo out of the womb, they're bragging that this is progress. Maybe 20, you might be inconvenienced 20 minutes. You know, you might have to wait in the office a little bit longer. So sorry about that. But it's terrifying to think that this is legal and that it's going on and that it is very, very popular. No responsibility is there. You can do away with it. It's actually very, very sickening. But the responsibility is not overlooked, and there are very grim consequences for all that are involved. We were talking about Yamaraj this morning, how he should be invited to all the kirtans. He likes kirtan. Well, Yamaraj, he has quite a position, but he has a something called planned punishment for all these people that are taking advantage of this Planned Parenthood and aborting their children, avoiding the birth of their children. And it's unmentionable suffering that he'll impose on all these persons. So we can just get a glimpse into this uncivilized society that we are raised in. Raises animals, raises hogs and dogs. I think hogs and dogs have more responsibility for their offspring than we do. But there is some still faint symptoms of the Vedic culture. One that really impresses me and that I see a lot, that there's the young men in India especially that have had the influence of the Vedic culture, that they wait till they're like 26, 27, 28 to get married. That they have their whole program together. They know that they're going to raise a child, they're going to get married, so they have their house, they have their profession, they even have a little bit of what you call the pepper, salt and pepper in their hair. I mean, they're that old, some of them. But they wait until they know that they can take that responsibility, and they do a good job. And they make sure that their religiosity is there and the samskaras are there. So this is very impressive. So there's still a pulse in the Vedic culture of restraint. Very difficult to wait that long to get married, I'm sure. But this is very important to follow the rules of religion. Actually, Prabhupada said that the definition of religion is to follow the laws of God. Try to control our natural propensities just to enjoy unlimitedly. And so there are many different austerities mentioned and supported in the Vedic culture. Some pinching, it pinches us. It pinches our freedom, our so-called freedom, which we have misused, and tries to organize ourselves so that we can arranged to escape this material world, which is full of birth and death. So the Vedic culture has laws for upliftment of spiritual life. And so they have like a checks and balances system where different qualified persons are put into strategic positions to run society so that they can make sure that this is actually going on. You might call it varnashram, you know, or whatever you want to call it. But as mentioned here, this king, Rishabhdev, he could see that now I'm getting old, now I have the responsibility to go take care of my spiritual life, so I'm going to train my sons, I'm going to preach them, don't get entangled in this material world, don't take this meager bit of pleasure that you're going to get and think it's all in all. No, you got to think more of your dependents, your citizens, raise them up, be the example of something very spiritual, of a Rajarshi, a king that is actually supposed to represent God. And so therefore the kings or the leaders, they had a board of highly qualified Brahmins to give them direction and to make sure that they did execute their position properly, to elevate everyone spiritually, to see the growth in their community spiritually. And then, of course, there was the gurus, better said, acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. And, of course, we see the parampara, that over the years, the purity of the absolute truth is delivered by these acharyas to everyone in society. Very, very important position. You have to be very, very qualified, pure, and potent. And of course, the responsibility of the father is mentioned here in this verse, discussing Diti and her husband, Kashyapa. The father is responsible to uphold religious principles within the family, to protect them from the onslaught of the material world, and to also help others in the community, to give them directions, to help deliver everyone. Big responsibility. And then, of course, the mother. The mother wears a big hat. She's actually described that she's more worshipable than guru. In many scriptures it says that. And she's the pivot of love and attachment and the strength of the family, keeps the family together, and is usually very deeply religiously involved. I know when people come out to the eco farm and they see the village life that we try to mock out here to show, and they always go, oh yes, my grandmother used to do this, my grandmother used to do that. So it's there, the motherly instinct and the religiosity was very deep. And of course, teachers, they have to keep the whole society educated in spiritual and material matters. It's described as like a railroad with two rails, material and spiritual. You get derailed one way, and big, big problem. So this is the duties of the teachers, to be both spiritually, materially enriched, and to enliven everyone else. So where to find all these qualified persons, especially in this age of Kali? Very, very difficult. And we see the chaos because it's lacking. Now everyone is very spiritually lazy. Manda, manda, se mateo. Very, just lazy, period. You know, just to get them off the computer or off their phone, it's like, oh, no, don't bother me. I'm comfortable here. Actually, it's almost like child abuse if you ask your child to take out the garbage once a week, or to you know, what less, wash their laundry, wash your own laundry. I told this story before, but I was in Vrindakum, and I decided I wanted to go on a walk. I love to go in the villages just to see how they live. And so I walked down the road about a mile, and I see some teenage girls out cutting sugarcane. Strong girls, you know, and they waved me over, and I went over and talked to them, and they were kind of laughing at me. Americans are always a source of entertainment. I don't know why you just have to stand there and they start laughing at you. I guess we look pretty pitiful. Anyway, they were showing me how they do it and how they were winnowing the wheat, and it was just such a pleasant sight to see, you know. And then I went down, and the little teeny village, I walked in, and not many people live, maybe 10 houses or something like this in the house, and grandma was out there in the hot sun taking a bath, you know, in the front of everybody, no problem, because it was, probably didn't have hot water, so in the hot part of the day, they were taking their bath. And then they asked me to sit down on a little simple cot that they probably used to sleep on and to eat on and do everything on, and so I sat down, and they brought me all these chapatis, you know, oh, that's enough, I can't eat anymore. And then I was on my way back, and I see all these little boys carrying bundles. And so I followed them, and I followed them down to the pump. And they were all there doing their laundry. These boys were not taller than this. They must have been 4, 5 years old. And that was their duty in the day. They were all, and then I watched them doing it. And they were having a good time, you know. And they were washing the clothes. Did a pretty good job, too. And so this is, you know, this is not child abuse. This is training. Srila Prabhupada wanted to train us. I was listening to a lecture just the other night, and Prabhupada was saying, you all must become guru. All my disciples should become guru. He says, because there's a blazing fire out there. You could actually like almost feel it, you know, because you could tell he was feeling it, that there was an urgency to rescue these people. So you must become qualified. Of course, you know, firemen, they don't get much recognition, and neither do followers of religious organizations. They don't get much recognition for all the blood that they spill. Bhakti Sunata said that for my disciple, I spill so much blood. It's a thankless task. I can verify that. I was in the Gurukul system trying to raise teenage girls for 26 years. A thankless task. Because we're not born qualified, you know, spiritualists. But that's not an excuse. We can't say, oh, woe is me, I'm so fallen, no Prabhupada, I can't do that, ask somebody else, no. No, we have to become qualified. We have to try our best to become qualified. Prabhupada said, first save yourself, and then you can save others. So he has the program of training us, and we should take it very seriously. Sometimes we forget some of the basics that we heard over and over again, especially when Prabhupada was on the planet. He would have that example in regards to the verse here about Diti and her husband, about butter. You put butter next to fire, and what does it do? It melts. Butter in America is just like butter in India. And fire is not any different. It's hot. It's not cold here in the United States, in the West. And butter is not, you know, hard, doesn't melt. So this is something that we should take seriously, even though we're in the West. Put men next to women, you're going to have problems. And that other expression, just pass the salt, Prabhu. Remember, that was an old saying, you know, that when we're doing service with men and women together, can you just please pass the salt? Not more than that. But we forget this. We think that we're, you know, exempt from these simple rules. Aditi here, she had a little slip up. So we can have many slip ups also. We have to multitask here in Krishna consciousness. We have to be a mother. We have to be a preacher. We have to be a guru. We have to be so many things. So there's bound to be some mistakes. But we're living on a razor's edge, and we should realize that we have to be very, very careful. One can be a teacher, a guru, a father, can take all these positions, but if they're not Krishna conscious, then they're just going to be part of that soul-killing civilization that is everywhere around us. We're just going to be one of those people. Or we can be a guru, teacher, mother, father, and maybe make some mistakes, but try our best. But if we're Krishna conscious, then that can be our perfection. So we should choose to accept association that will improve our situation as far as being spiritually advanced. I was at a baby shower a few weeks ago, and usually they ask for blessings. This couple, extremely qualified, parents, extremely, extremely qualified. And so there was a small amount of us asked to come and give blessings. And we were all blessing, yeah, have more kids. We need more pure devotees. We need people that are spiritually advanced to move this mission forward for Srila Prabhupada. So yes, multi-children's, go, please. So this is what's going on here. Please, Kashyapa Prabhu, you know, let's expand this. Although because of her little slip-up, there was some disaster there, but ultimately it came out all right. So I also, there were some blessings that don't be attached, because we can try our best, but Maya's there, and many of us have been disappointed that the offsprings weren't the pure devotees that we expected, but who knows what can happen in the future. But still, one must be detached. We have to do our best and realize that Krishna is the supreme controller. So we should do a lot of praying and hope that Krishna steps forward and makes all the millions of kids that are being born here, it seems like two or three every day or something like that, may they become powerful, potent preachers. Krishna gives us all a choice. He's very kind. He gives us choices. So we should take the best choice to not go the animal route, but go towards Krishna, become fixed up, make our business short here in the material world, and go back home, back to Godhead. Make this a priority. Every day we have a choice. Which priority am I going to have, Krishna or not Krishna? So we have to take these considerations very seriously. And it's nice to see that all these people that are listening to class, they have made that choice, a priority to listen to Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So important that we regularly hear this every day to remind us. So this chapter is very heavy, but very important, and we must hear it again and again with open hearts and take it seriously. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, over there.
So although in the scriptures they say you cannot become a parent or a teacher or whatever unless you deliver your offsprings, there must be some kind of adjustment to understand in this, because all of us, many of us, we do our very, very best, and it ends up that we're not all, you know, having pure devotees, even Srila Prabhupada. So is it that if you do your very best, is that you're following this order?
Yeah. Yes, you are. You have to be strategically situated. So if you think you can do your best in this situation, becoming a householder and having a child, then yes, that's your duty. But you, like it's, I think the saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So we try to do our best, lead our family towards Krishna consciousness, and then if that's your duty as a householder, then do it your best. Anybody else? Pranga Vinapurva?
I was wondering, it seems like Kashyapa Muni very fully aware what is the responsibility of being a father before conceiving a child, what he's supposed to do. But then in Bhagavad Gita 3.36 says, Atakeena Prajuktayam Papa Charati Purusha. Anichanapi Varsneya Baladivaniyajita. Sometimes we feel impulsive to act such a way as if like somebody forcing me from within. Later on we say, oh, it's not. So my question is, is he out of regretting he is confessing the truth? The truth was there, dharma, what is the duty? It was there, looks like very well. Or he felt helpless, or actually he's fully aware, negative and positive, and he's just acting as a role.
I think it explains coming up a little bit more about it.
Okay.
So we'll just wait and see how it develops.
Okay.
There's one little part of a song that we sing that I would like to say. That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, And a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So this is a sweet way to remember this verse, that if you want to choose association, find someone who's absorbed in the holy name, and they can really be your best friend.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, I have one question. You said we had to do our duty to the best of our ability, perform your duty, and we know that we don't have control over the results of our actions. So when we are fully dedicated to Krishna's service, rational thinking sometimes is you analyze risk. Whenever you do something, you think about risk and you know all the things attached with risk. But when you're serving Krishna, do we also have to think like that, or is just do sincere service and just don't worry about any risk?
Well, if you think there is some risk, you have some maybe some doubt, then we have our checks and balances of guru and shastra and advanced devotees. So if you think there might be a risk, or maybe a fall down or something like that, you can go to these sources and they can help you. So your shastra, guru, and spiritual.
So then question, follow up with that. Somebody will say, should I calculate what will be the result of surrender, then I'll endeavor to surrender, or should I surrender first, just follow the guru, and then you will experience and go through the result, and then you will find out?
You answer that.
I heard one pastime of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada used to go to Boston Pier, and he used to ask, when is the next ship to India? Yes. And the manager there told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you come every time and you ask, but you never go. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada is laughing, and he's also laughing. He said, yes, whenever I'm so frustrated, I come here, and I want to go back to India. But then I think about my guru, and I say, I think, let me give 2 more months time. Mm-hmm. So if Prabhupada had that kind of anxiety and that kind of frustration, and first year he was not successful, I think what I personally believe is we should give our best, and we should take 2 more months time also. If Prabhupada said 2 more months, 2 more months for 1 year, I think for our level, maybe 20 years also not enough. Hari Bol.
I know I was asked to do something which would have been a full surrender for me, and I didn't do it. Now I lament that I didn't do it. So there are times when you should have surrendered, right? I'm sure everyone in this room has time that they had an opportunity to really surrender, and they go, 2 more months, 2 or 3 more months, when you should have just surrendered.
We are on the way to New Navdeep Dham, Mataji, and we have come here to take deities and devotees' blessings. We want to build a devotee community there.
Where?
A New Navdeep Dham in McAllen, south of Texas.
Okay.
So we have Radha Madhav deities in our car. They are waiting outside. Mm-hmm. Beautiful deities. And they decided to come to New Navdeep Dham. So we are taking them there. So we are here. So I take this opportunity to seek deities and devotees' blessings that we can sincerely serve Srila Prabhupada's mission.
Come. Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Hare. Is this going to be a farm community or what?
Yes, Mataji, says 7,500-acre farm community.
Wow. Well, if you're not in a hurry, at 10 o'clock, you can come out to the eco farm. I'll show you some of the things we're doing.
That would be awesome, and yeah, we need your guidance and blessings. I truly believe that this is the most famous, most successful farm community, like devotee community in the entire West, North America. Because you have close to 3,000 devotees, gurukul, cows, and beautiful deities. So we come here to seek deities' blessings, that this magic can happen in New Navdeep Dham also.
Yeah. My blessings for your success.
Thank you so much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.